Sister Vicky, go ahead. I told her to wave her hand. She said, I'm so short you can't. Oh, that was funny. You ought to have heard their conversation. She said, I'm so short you can't see me. So I'm seeing her now. She's waving both hands and jumping up and down. I got you. That's cool. How much is artificial chicken? Okay, that's cool. Don't forget, you can get a real chicken for $8 or a real half a chicken, or you get an artificial chicken, just give a donation. Isn't God good? We had a Emmaus meeting over here yesterday, the teaming meeting, and the ladies and gentlemen came out here, and it was so awesome. Y'all that participated yesterday, y'all stand up. I want everybody to give y'all a hand, because y'all were just awesome. So everybody that participated yesterday, y'all stand up. If I try to remember all your names, I'll get it all mixed up. They done good. They represented our church very well. Several of the guys said if they weren't so far to drive, they'd come here for church. But some of those guys drove 3 hours to get here yesterday. And so I wanted to tell them, well, now you know how I feel. That's how I wrecked my car. I was driving to get to you when I wrecked my back of my car. I was so tired. Amen. All right. First thing I tell you, I had a dream last night. And these dreams are so real sometimes. You ever had a dream that's really just so real, unless you just, like you're in Neverland, it's so awesome? Well, I had this dream. I dreamed I was a doctor. And Brandon, Brandon drove up in his Mustang like he was being chased by a Dodge Charger. He was in a state of high anxiety, because I'm going to talk about anxiety today. And he said, Doctor, you got to help me. I'm dying. I said, you're dying? He says, yeah, everywhere I touch, it hurts. I touch my head and it hurts. I touch my leg and it hurts. I touch my stomach and it hurts. I touch my chest and it hurts. You got to help me, Doctor. Everything hurts. And I gave him a complete examination. I said, Brandon, I have good news and bad news. The good news is you're not dying. The bad news is your finger's broke. Yeah, his was cut off. All right. Okay. Like I said, over the last few weeks, I have given away more of these because I come up to somebody who's really stressing out, even at Walmart, even at the post office. It's like wherever I go, it doesn't matter. When I get there, somebody's there waiting. It's like the Lord's got this divine assignment waiting, and somebody's standing there that's got having this anxiety. And so I give these things away. God's got this. Even yesterday, it's just so wild how things are going down and how things are happening. So all I'm going to do is first I want to give y'all an anxiety test, okay? This is a cheap anxiety test, okay? This is not a real powerful mark test. It's going to tell you exactly what your anxiety is. This is just a cheap, off-the-cuff anxiety test. Y'all ready? Now, I want everybody participate. Everybody, okay, ready? All right, here we go. Here it is. Here's the anxiety test. I want you to fill in the blank. I'm ready to throw in the... Good. I'm at the end of my... I'm just a bundle of... Look at y'all. I'm at my wits. Y'all are doing good. I feel like resigning from the human. There you go. I'm in over my... I would like to congratulate all of you because every last one of you have some level of stress in your life right now. Y'all have probably used one of those in the last week or two. How many's used one of those in the last week or two? Amen. Maybe not out loud. Maybe you just said it to yourself. But you're sitting there lying going, uh-oh, man, I'm just a bundle of nerves. I hope everybody notices what's going on. So here we go. I'm just going to start it off today. Is I'm going to talk about, actually what we're going to be talking about is attacking attacking panic. Instead of panic attacking us, we're going to attack panic. You got to get on top of this because everybody has the possibility of having it happen to them. Even the hardest, strongest, most powerful people I've ever met, there's times when panic and anxiety begins to take over in their life. And I can tell it just as sure as the world when it's taking over and when it's getting the best of them. So now, so here, look at her. Here's anxiety girl. What's that thing say? Oh, good grief. These tights are too tight. I think I'm going to, what did it? I think I'm going to die. Thank you. See, she's even having anxiety over the tights that she's wearing. Anxiety girl, able to jump to the worst conclusions in a single bound. Is anybody in here, can y'all jump to a bad conclusion in a single bound? Something starts happening, here you go, going, that's my lot in life. Well, that's just the way it is for me. I don't ever get a break. And nothing ever goes my way. Those cards are always stacked against me. Everything seems to be going opposite of the way I'm going. If everything's going, if the good's going north, I'm always going south. If I'm southbound, it's northbound. If I'm eastbound, it's westbound. And you just hear this all the time. And these people don't realize, and we don't realize, when we start saying this, we set ourselves up for major anxiety. Not only do we set ourselves up for major anxiety, we are setting ourselves up for a major panic attack. Let me just kind of explain this a little bit, the difference in them, okay? So look, here we go. I wrote a lot of words down so you could see it. I want you to see this. Anxiety is an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior, such as pacing back and forth. Does it look like I'm anxious? Amen. And it's a subjectively unpleasant feeling of dread over anticipated events, such as the feeling of imminent death. Now, there's a difference. I want you to see, watch this, there's a difference in fear and anxiety. Reason is, anxiety is not the same as fear, which is the response to a real or perceived immediate threat. So whereas anxiety is the expectation of a future threat. When I'm afraid, there's something real or imagined right in front of me. Anxiety is when I'm expecting it. There is a difference. And so there's a lot of people don't realize just how much they have this. And let me tell you this right now. You can hide for a while. You can hide your anxiety. It takes somebody who really knows you or somebody knows what anxiety looks like to pick out sometimes when we're under anxiety. But you cannot hide an anxiety or a panic attack. There's a difference. You can hide anxiety for a while, and even sometimes while it's getting up, you can hold it down until it gets to a certain level, and then it begins to go back down, and you're fine. But you cannot hide when it becomes a panic attack. Matter of fact, I've seen people call 911. They come in and get them thinking they're having a heart attack. And when they get them, they check their signs, they check their symptoms, they put them in the back of the rescue squad, they start giving them oxygen, they get them to the hospital, and they say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with their heart. The problem is they're having an anxiety attack, a panic attack. I've seen it more than one time. I've even seen it in my own family when things were going down. I see somebody starting to have that panic attack, and I start talking with him. Yesterday, I saw somebody, again, not even where you wouldn't even expect it. It weren't my family, just where you would not even expect it. All of a sudden, there's a panic attack. See, anxiety creates panic. Remember, anxiety is, I feel it's coming, and I feel it coming, I feel it coming, I feel it coming. But panic comes when you go, but I don't know what to do about it. And then all of a sudden you start saying things like, I've let everybody down, I've let myself down, I can't believe I've done this, I can't believe this is where it's going, I can't believe I'm in this position. And pretty soon you're talking so fast and you're breathing so hard that you hyperventilate, and your chest starts hurting, and you start blacking out, all kinds of things when you have these panic attacks. And so it's very important that we understand what the difference is. So it creates panic, and panic always attacks. It'll attack you in more ways than you ever could imagine. So now we're going to talk about a biblical example. Okay, we're going to read the scripture. And then we're going to, you can remain seated. We're going to read the scripture, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about somebody that had anxiety, and God stopped it before it became a panic attack. All right? He had anxiety, and God stopped it before it became a panic attack. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say, oh me. Now, after the death of Moses, verse 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, his minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Say, the past is behind us. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and all these people, unto the land which I give to you, even to the children of Israel, the future is ahead of us. Every place that the sole of your foot you shall tread upon, I have given it you, as I said unto Moses. For God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you know where we live. You've got our address. You know what each of us are going through. And God, you know how to take one message amongst 50 people and cater each person's message directly to them. Although the same message is being spoke to all, each person can hear it individually. I'm asking you to do that again today, Lord. Although it's one message coming from my mouth, I believe inspired by you, let it divide up and go to each person individually, and let it speak to them on their level, wherever they're at this moment, and minister in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen. Now, if there was ever a person, Joshua, y'all say Joshua. Okay. You know, Joshua is the Hebrew for Jesus, right? Y'all knew that? So Joshua is Jesus. All right. So here's Joshua. Joshua, if ever a person was set up for a panic attack, it was Joshua. Can you imagine? It's hard enough. There's certain people, you know, I hear people say when they come up to minister, or they come up to talk behind somebody else, and they say, you expect me to come up behind that and talk? Have y'all ever said that? You expect me to go up behind this and do something? You know, DC always says, you expect me to go up behind my daughter? You know, matter of fact, I'm going today at 3:00. And DC's not here today because he actually got a migraine and throwing up. But I'm going to this Mamma Mia at Washington High School, and Sierra's got the lead role in Mamma Mia. She's singing Mamma Mia. There we go again. All right. Okay, they didn't ask me to sing there. I'm telling you, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm too old to be in high school. That's got to be it. All right, if there was ever, the DC would get behind her and go, I don't want to sing behind her, Dad. I said, it's your daughter. You taught her how to sing. Don't worry about it. All right, if ever there was a person in a position for panic attacks, it was Joshua. Watch this. Now, can you imagine this happening to you right now? Watch. He was called to take Moses' place. Wow, that's some big shoes to fill. Moses, to everybody, was God's voice speaking directly to them. He was the man in between them and God. He was the one that saw God, spoke to him face to face. He was there. He's up on the mountain. He got the commandments. He saw the plagues in Egypt and the Red Sea. And now all this stuff's going on, and now Moses is dead. And now God's calling Joshua and says, Joshua, I want you to take his place. I would not want to be in that position. No, don't put me there. So I can imagine that already, that was anxious enough. You got big shoes to fill. But now, not only big shoes to fill, but I want you to take the land. So now look at this. Now he's got this big job to complete. Now, how many in here think about this? You know, how many got big jobs at your job or in your family? You got big jobs that you need to complete. And just thinking about that, you know, if everything's on schedule and everything's going right, you feel pretty good about it. You still feel anxious, but that's a normal anxious. It's a good anxious. It keeps you moving. It keeps you on schedule. But then you get behind schedule and you get behind schedule and other things are thrown on you. All of a sudden now, oh God, you know, you're thinking, when am I going to have time to do this, 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 and this? You know, yesterday while I was in that MS meeting from 9:30 to 5, while I was sitting there, whenever I had a little bit of time, I was busy writing a 10-page essay for school tomorrow. I was busy writing a sermon, and I was also writing Tuesday night's Bible study, because I know that if I wait till the last minute, something always happens at the last minute, and I can't get it done. So there I was writing all those, and at the same time, I was talking, and I was praying for folks and doing communion and doing everything else, but I was just keeping it going, because I know just getting behind how much stress that puts on a person. Oh, yeah. And I sent off 400 word or less essays while I was over there. So it was just constant. I know I got to keep it going, because if I don't, you get behind just the least little bit, all of a sudden anxious. You get anxious and anxious and anxious. And so watch this. Look, God gave him big shoes to fill. God gave him a big job to complete. And both seemed impossible without God. Y'all say without God, it's impossible. Can you imagine Joshua trying to lead all these people without God's help? After seeing all the things Moses did, and now here he goes. So here he goes. Get ready. I'm going to take this first verse, the first few verses, and I'm going to show you how he's set up for anxiety and set up for an anxiety or a panic attack, but God stopped it. And Joshua moved on anyway, and God took care of him. Some of us is right where we're at today. This right here, right now, what I'm getting ready to show you, I may be parking right in your backyard. Some of y'all, I'm parking in your front yard. Ready? Get ready. Anxiety. Anxiety is triggered many ways. I mean many ways, but I'm going to show you just a few right here in this scripture. When your past triggers negative feelings. How many's got things in your past that you really don't like? That you really wish hadn't happened? That you wish you had responded differently? That you wish you would have got a better handle on it? Now you say, if it happened today, I can handle it. But back then, I just didn't know. Sometimes a reminder of a difficult past triggers anxious emotions. I was recently, you know, because it's fresh in my mind. Bethany, it's just constant. There's always something happening and something triggers. I looked up on the refrigerator that I hadn't even paid attention to it. Bethany needed $10 for something, and I put $10 on the refrigerator with a magnet. Said, here, get it when you need it. Well, she's been dead since November 17th, and I happened to look up on the refrigerator up at the top, and guess what I saw? That $10 bill with that magnet. And I said, well, where you going? Your ticket's already punched. You know, I had to get funny about it because right to start with, it hurt my heart. And I went inside the refrigerator, and when I went inside the refrigerator, I thought I had taken all of her drugs and carried it to the sheriff's office and chemotherapy and all that and had it incinerated. But I go back in the refrigerator, and I'm going way on back in the back to get something, and I see a plastic bag. I said, uh-oh. And I pull out the plastic bag and says, do not handle. It was chemotherapy. So here it is again. So that stuff happens. All of a sudden, I find myself kind of sinking. And so I find myself kind of sinking. I find a way to get myself out of it is by saying, God, she's with you. Thank you. Thank you, she's not hurting anymore. Thank you, God, she's at perfect peace. And I thank you, God, that she don't have to take this stuff anymore. And so I've learned how to cope. Don't say necessarily just get over it, but cope. You know what I'm saying? So here it is. You can't change your past. You can change how you respond to it. Joshua 1 and 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. He was stopped. Part of it, he was in mourning, and so he was going to be still because he's mourning. But the other part is, not only is he in mourning, but he's afraid to move forward. Think about it. How many times have you been in a situation? Moses! I mean, the man, the myth, the legend, all in one. Moses is dead. Now, you get up, Joshua. It's your turn. No, I'd rather stay here. I was hearing somebody talk about a preacher, and I didn't really get it to start with, and then I did kind of get it. It said, back in the day when they had the midwives and all going on, the little boy, there was two children, a set of twins being born, and one came out, sort of breached, came out, and the arm came out first. So she tied a ribbon on his wrist to kind of help pull on this baby arm. And when she tied the ribbon on the baby's arm, the baby immediately pulled its arm right back in the womb. And then the other twin was born. And the one with the ribbon came out last. And the preacher even said, he said, see, some people, when they see a breakthrough coming, they'd rather stay in captivity and others go on out. I don't want to stay in captivity. I don't want to stay in something that keeps me bonded and keeps me down. So watch. So just remembering that past feelings can cause anxiety to trigger in you. And then sometimes, and this is how he felt, you feel unprepared. Joshua chapter 2, now go over this Jordan, thou and all these people. Really? They wouldn't listen to you, Moses. Why think they're going to listen to me? You had a hard enough time with them and you were working all these miracles. You had your rod. You were awesome. I'm a warrior. I'm having to fight my way through with my sword. And now I've got to lead all these people. I'm not prepared for this, God. I really can't do this. Some of y'all are thinking that right now. You're thinking of something in your life. It's hitting you hard. You know what? You're right, God. That's how I feel. And watch this. When you feel out of control, the future's unknown, change is scary. You may feel out of control. Again, Joshua 1, chapter 2. Now, you go over this Jordan, all these people, into the land. Okay? That land's got giants. That land's got strong walled cities. Matter of fact, up to this point, we're not even sure what all it's got. And Joshua hadn't even sent his spies yet. It's scary because I don't know what waits out there. And so like the little baby with the ribbon tied around his wrist, I just climb on back in the womb. It's tight, but at least it's warm. It's tight, and I can't move, but at least I know what to expect. Out there, I have no idea what to expect. That's why a lot of people, when they're being abused, a lot of people when they're going through bad situations, they keep going back to the familiar, is because that's exactly what they're doing. They know that it's bad, but at least they know what they've got. And if they go out there, they've got to go into the unknown, and they're scared to go into the unknown because they're not sure what they're going to find when they get out there. So I just go back into the where I know I might get hit or I might get abused, but at least I know what's going to happen, and I can handle that. I prepared myself for that. And God said, no, we got to move forward. Yesterday's mighty army said, don't ask God to bless your steps if you're not willing to take one, or bless your path if you're not willing to take a step. You know, you got to move. And then anxiety is triggered when you feel you have no explanation. Sometimes there's no warning or explanation to your anxiety. Just anxiety speaks false beliefs to us. And when these false beliefs start coming, we get paralyzed. I've let everybody down. I've let myself down. I've let God down. I've told you this a million times. I'm going to say it again. You might can let me down. You might can let your friends down or you down, but you cannot let God down. You never, listen to me, you cannot disappoint God. It's impossible. Why can you not disappoint God? Because in order to disappoint somebody, you've got to do something other than what they expect. I can tell God all day long that I'm going to do whatever, but he already knows what I'm going to do, so how can I disappoint him? Can't disappoint him. It's impossible. If you tell me that you're going to you're going to have a Dodge Charger waiting right there for me with my name on it, and I walk out and I don't see it, that'd be disappointing. But you know what? You know what? God already knew. He's not disappointed. He going, wait till you go out there, son. They ain't going to be no Dodge Charger. They played a trick on you. They got a Mustang. I'm just playing. Mustang's a universal car. Let me change that. Mustang's universal. It's not even counted as a Ford. Mustang is the car. That's right. Mustang and Charger, two of the toughest cars on the market. All right. So now, after anxiety is triggered, watch this. Hello, my name is Failure. This is anxiety talking to you. Anxiety is trying to tell you you're a failure. Anxiety tries to tell you that you can't make it work. You tried, it didn't work. You're nothing but a failure. You failed God. You failed whoever. You failed your family. You failed yourself. And anxiety puts that name tag on you. Failure. I'm here to tell you, don't let that happen. You see, here's the anxiety, how it attacks. Watch this now. Here, look for it. There's the danger of looking back. He said, again, here, I'm bringing back these two scriptures. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land. Now, watch this. Watch carefully. In the first 9 verses, Moses is mentioned 6 times. The rest of the book, he's mentioned 57 times. I was talking to a preacher one day, and the preacher told me, he said, you know, they called me to another church, and I went to another church, and I said, well, how's your wife like it? And he said, well, I thought she was going to like it, but I'm not sure anymore. And I said, why? He said, because I went there after the pastor died. I said, well, that can't be cool. He says, yeah, but the problem is his wife's still living, and she's still there. And he says, so I'm the pastor because I know he's dead, but he said, my wife's not the pastor's wife. She's my wife, but they still go to her, the other lady. And he says, so my wife kind of feels like she's not even needed. And I thought about this. 57 times, Moses. Joshua, the book of Joshua, about him. Joshua. But every time Joshua was trying to do something, we hear about Moses. Isn't that great? You always got to hear about somebody else that you think is greater than you. You're trying to do something, but all you hear is somebody else all the time. So watch this. There is that danger of looking back. And then, look. It's easy to look at what God has done in the past and think, I can't move forward. That's a lie. Then there's the danger of standing still. He says in verse 3, he's trying to tell him to get up. You got to get up. You got to get moving. Every place the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. Now, fulfilling the promises of God, God will fulfill it, but we've got to do our part. And what's our part? We got to walk by faith. Then, watch this. I love this. Have you ever had one of those days when you're holding a stick and everybody looks like a pinata? Yeah. You, pastor? Yeah. Especially if they got a Lenten tied to their name. And especially if I gave birth to them. Well, not gave birth, but I was there when they were born. Amen. All right. So now, watch this. Some more dangers. There's the danger of giving up. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Meaning, I will not leave you emotionally and I will not leave you physically. I'm going to be with you. You can trust me. You see, here it is. He's wanting to give up already. He's right here. This is all going on in this one conversation. God is handling everything in this one conversation. And then there's the danger of falling short because it says, be good, be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide and inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. The inheritance is the land that God promised. So in other words, you just gotta move forward. Even if you can't see what's in front of you, you still have to move forward and trust God. Anxiety will be there all the way. So now we're just going to talk about one more slide, and then we're going to pray, and we'll talk about the rest next week. This has just been the buildup, okay? So now watch this. Anxiety does not exist in a vacuum. It not only affects you, but it impacts all your relationships. I've noticed over the years, if I'm around, some people are just anxious people. You ever known any anxious people? I mean, it's like talking to a chihuahua, a human chihuahua. I mean, everything. You know, I can just imagine Don Knotts walking up and down here, you know. My brother, who is one of the calmest, coolest dudes I've ever met, when he was young, I think I had to wind up beating it in him, but finally he got to be cool and calm. He's my younger brother. One day, I'm in the barn, in Daddy's barn, and Daddy has 1, 2, 3 sections. I'm in the middle section. The back door is right here, but it wasn't open because I went in through this side. So I had to come through a door, had to come through another door, and then I'm getting ready to reach up for something when I do this big old snake. The tail, I kid you not, the tail was that long. And it was hanging up over the work area. And so I said, this is nothing. I'll just yank him and throw him down. I don't want him over my head while I'm working. And so I grabbed him by his tail, and I went to yank. He yanked back. And I said, this ain't how this is going down, bro. So I yanked again, and he yanked back. I said, well, good Lord, he can't be but 2 foot long. What's he got? Is somebody holding his hands? And I yanked one more time. When I did, a head from way over down there came out. And he looked at me, and I understood every word he said. He said, let me go. Are you in trouble, boy? And I'm holding the tail, and his head's coming out here. And my brother, Dr. Cool, opened up, because he was going to help me work, right? He goes and opens up the door and steps in. He sees this going on. I got this tail. It's hanging down this far, down from me. This snake had to be, it was a rat snake. It had to be, I don't know, it had to be 5 foot long. I'm pulling over here, down here, that head's coming down. And when my brother comes in, the snake quits looking at me and looks at my brother and goes, and what are you going to do? My brother understood that too. And my Dr. Cool brother, who never loses cool, he looked like Don Knotts. He just went. And I said, Larry, help me. He goes, I said, do something. I'm pulling the snake to say, shh. And he's going, I said, calm down, son. Do something. Open the door. Behind me. He goes, okay. And he runs through the door he came in and runs all the way to the other side and opened up the top door, way down the other side. Like, I'm going to pull him out and I'm going to walk through this door and through that door and go in the section and throw him out over there. I meant right behind me. So I can just throw him out, not have to take him and put my arm around him and tote him out. And so my brother's way on the other side going, okay, Cricket is ready. And so the snake said, have you had enough? I said, yes, I let go, and he disappeared. Anybody with the right trigger can have an anxiety attack. Just hope it's not your brother while you're holding the tail of a snake, waiting for him to open the door, because it ain't going to happen. Amen. He lost all his cool points that day. James Dean started looking like Pee Wee Herman after that. Okay. So look. Anxiety does not exist in a vacuum. It not only affects you, but infects. As a matter of fact, infects. Not only affects, it infects. What I was going to say is, if you ever know these people that are always kind of jumpy, if you watch them strong enough, usually if you can go back and see their parents or their grandparents or somebody they considered their parental figure, you're liable to see one of two things. Either one, that person that was in the parental position could never be satisfied, ever, and was always jumping on them. Or number two, they're just shaky like that too. Either way, this stuff gets passed down, gets passed down, gets passed down, and so you got to stop it. So here it is. This is just the first one. We got a bunch more coming next week. And it's good stuff. Okay. Joshua 1 and 8, the book of the law, he's done telling him all the stuff you got to do, and there's all these things can be going on in his head. The Bible don't just plain out say he's having an anxiety attack, but you know there's anxiety there because he keeps trying to talk to him. He's talking to him. He's coaching him. He's moving him forward. He's trying to get him to get up and move forward. And so here it is. He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So now watch this. I want you to listen carefully, because this is going to help you. This is your assignment for this week. And this also is kind of leading up to, it's after Easter now because it's so close to Easter. After Easter, we're going to start the stuff over here, and we're going to try to start the stuff over there after Easter and after Emmaus. We're going to start it. So we're going to start advertising it so people can come. But even the stuff we're doing on Tuesday nights now, the prelude has been awesome. And I'm hearing that people are feeling better. And starting this week, we're going to talk about how to get beyond perfectionism. Because perfectionism is one of the major causes of anxiety in a person's life, is being a perfectionist. Remember, God's called us to be excellent. He's not called us to be perfect. Okay? Everybody's going to make mistakes. Amen? Matter of fact, I think it would help if we could lighten up on some of our people in our relationships and say, wait a minute, God doesn't expect perfection, why should I? Okay? So, watch this, the power of meditation. Meditation, he said, I want you to meditate on it day and night. It means to utter under your breath, to talk to yourself. So, everybody in this room talks to yourself every day. Matter of fact, you're talking to yourself as soon as I started talking. Some of you might have even said this. I said you talk to yourself. Some of y'all said, no, I don't. You just talk to yourself. I don't talk to myself every day. Really? We all talk to ourselves. The biggest conversation you have every day is the one in your head. Okay? Every last one of us. When we're trying to figure out something, well, how's this supposed to work? In your head, you're thinking, well, how's this supposed to work? Wait a minute, last time I did it, I went this way, and now I'm going to have to do it this way, or the things have changed. You just go on down the line, and you're talking to yourself, and then you say, look, you mess up, and you go, to yourself, that was stupid. Well, you know what? And then you go from that was stupid to, you know what, I think you're just stupid. And then from then, you're just stupid to, you can't do anything anyway, only while you're here. And you're talking to yourself, and you're going further and further and digging a hole deeper and deeper, and anxiety's starting to dig in and dig in hard, you know. And like I told you just a few weeks ago when we were doing Never Lies, I'll tell it again. Linda started watching this show, Big Daddy, with Adam Sandler. He's trying to foster this boy. And all of a sudden, some of that stuff got so real with the stuff I had when I was fostering Bethany and how we had to adapt and adopt when we got her. And all the stuff she had been through when she first got her first toys, she destroyed her dolls. Because when she got her dolls, she beat her dolls. She beat them. She just tore them up. And why? Because that was her life up until she came to us. And so we had to teach her how to love her dolls and not beat them. And how to, there was just some, all this stuff was going on. Well, watching Big Daddy, I started thinking about Bethany, and instead of laughing, I started getting tears in my eyes. So I got up and I said, you know what, I'll just go get me some water. As I walk in, I look in the chair that Bethany always sat in, and that teddy bear that was sitting here in the funeral is sitting in that chair. That's what's been there since the funeral. And the teddy bear was leaned over, just like Bethany would lean over when she weren't feeling good. And all I could see was Bethany. I went, here we go. I thought I came in for relief, and now I'm seeing Bethany again. So I turn my head just quickly, and I look right at her urn. And I go, okay, there's nowhere to escape this. And so I go in the kitchen to get water. And when I go in the kitchen to get water, the enemy starts talking to me and goes, you know, if you'd have been a better daddy, she would still be alive. If you'd have caught it in time enough, if you'd have seen the signs better, she would have had a better chance. And it went on and on and on and on and on. And I was preaching on leaving Neverland the next day. And I said, you know what? Satan, you're trying to get me to rent a room in Neverland, and I'm not going to do it. I said, I did okay by her. I did what I thought was right by her. I thought I was being led by God. I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm not going to accept these lies, these never lies. And I went right back in, took some water, walked right back in and sat down and started watching that movie and just laughed and laughed and laughed and said, I'm not going to live that way. With this anxiety and always, you could have done better. Could have, should have, would have. See, watch. Healthy talk builds faith. And what's the best way to talk healthy talk? Talk about the Word. I've discovered over the years, whatever I'm having a problem with, I'll go to the Word and I'll find the remedy in the Word, and then I talk it over in my head all the time. I just keep talking it over in my head. And there's even times, you know, call me crazy, but there's times I like to think about I'm standing right there and I'm watching Joshua when he goes and he stands. He stands before Jericho, and but just before he goes, trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden, the Lord appears to him like a soldier with a sword and says, take your shoes off your feet because where you stand is holy ground. I sit there and think about that and go, wow. You know, that's some awesome stuff. And I'm sitting here being caught up in the never lies, and I can be thinking about that awesome, awesome stuff that's happening. You know, God never shielded people from all their problems. He was with them in his problems. He led them with their problems. Didn't take them all away. Good Lord, if he took them all away, then we wouldn't stand a chance. You look in the Bible, and everywhere you see in the Bible, every one of God's powerful men, all of them, had to overcome some great stuff. So, here, watch this. Now, this was a mighty army, sort of, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago. Worry is reverse meditation. Worry. Well, this is not going to work. What if I had a, what should have, could have, would have? Man, this is not going to work. What if they don't want to talk to me? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? I can't remember where we were at. Maybe it was here at church. I don't know. But somebody said something about, or somebody saying, maybe it was Tuesday night. I'm not sure. Or somebody saying, what if or if only? And I spoke up and said, yeah, if bullfrogs had wings, they wouldn't bump their hiney every time they hopped. If only. We can't live in that if only. Worry. So that's reverse meditation. Now all you're doing is talking, you're just talking crazy to yourself. And then watch this. After you get through talking that crazy mess all day long in your head, your name tag changes to anxiety. You know, I don't want my name to be anxiety. How about you? I don't want to know that when people see me, they see anxious. When they see me, they think, well, you know, that guy's so full of anxiety, I'm not sure we can talk to him. Nope. 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 I've even had people tell me, you know, just recently, we know what you've been through, and we don't want to burden you with our problems. And I go, look, I'm a pastor, and God's given me something, a buffer, where I can listen to your problems, and I don't take them on to myself. I can listen, and I can help you with your problems, and I don't have to be down and out over Bethany. I'll just keep on moving forward because I know how to compartmentalize. I can put Bethany right here and put you right there. Don't think because of what happened with Bethany, I can't pastor now. I'm still not thinking good, but that's okay because I wasn't sure I was thinking good to start with. Okay. Because Bethany used to ride with me and she'd say, turn here, Daddy. Turn here, Dad. Turn here, Dad. And then she would do things like whenever we go somewhere, she goes, okay, Dad, we got to go now. I go, well, we got this. She said, no, Dad, you said you'd be there such and such. Now, we got to go. And I don't have that. I've turned more wrong roads. I've had to turn around so many times. I've missed so much stuff because I didn't have my little handler there to handle me. Amen. She did a good job at that. Hello, my name is Anxiety. Yesterday, I had ordered another one of those watches. You know, because this here is a wonderful watch, but it only lasts like 8 hours. You got to recharge it. So this is a good watch if you're going to place. If you're going to go overnight somewhere, forget it. Unless you got your charger with you, because it's only like 8 hours. So I was trying to find a little secondary cheap watch I could wear, like to Emmaus or wherever, where I can still get my text messages on the watch and all this. Well, the first one I ordered, the instructions were in Chinese. And so I kept playing with it and kept playing with it. And finally, it said, if you want English, push here. So I pushed here. And so then it said, you're crazy by this watch. So there was a watch, no good. So I ordered a second watch. It says, number one seller on Amazon. I'll buy the thing, and it's in Chinese. So I'm telling you, I don't know if I trust all those, if all these, everybody likes these. So I finally bought one yesterday. I finally come in, a little cheapy, and I said, you know what, this will be awesome. This works. It says, all these people said they like it. And I put it in my watch. And when I put it in my phone, everything was working just like it said. But then my spyware detector popped up and said, you're going to infect your phone if you don't get rid of this malware. And I said, but this says it. But I looked at the phone and I said, but Amazon said. And it didn't change. It said malware. So I tried to flip it off and said, it's okay, we'll accept this. And it kept popping up, no malware. You're going to mess up your phone. So here it is. So I uploaded and downloaded 3 times. And it still was doing the same. So then I come across this. I decided to uninstall that anxiety in that phone. And some of y'all need to install the anxiety in your heart, in your mind, because you're living something that's not even there. You're scared of something that's not even going to happen or may not happen. You got something in your mind thinking, you know, all this stuff, all these bad things you're thinking of. And like I told y'all about this. When I was working at Fountain, we had this big old, it was ISO 9000. Y'all heard of ISO 9000. It's a big thing that talks about how things are built, and they're all built by specifications, and they're always the same. Everything built is the same thing because of these specifications. And the company would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on ISO 9000. And my job was to make sure that ISO 9000 was in compliance with the major ISO 9000 company in New York. And so my first wife was very sick during all this preparation for this audit, and just before the audit came, she died. My head was not in the game. And then, instead of sending good old boys down here, they sent 2 auditors. One had just audited the space shuttle after it exploded. The new space shuttle was after that one. And the other one wrote the book. And they wrote me up so bad, they had to have 2 notebooks. We failed. First time ever in Fountain's history, they failed. That ISO 9000. I walked up to the COO, Mr. Fountain, and I just knew they were going to fire me. I've seen stuff like that happen. So there was anxious. I'm thinking, I've lost my wife. Trying to take care of my daughter, my boys have gone crazy, and now it failed this, I'm going to lose my job. And so all the way when they called me in the office, all I can think about is I'm going to lose my job. I was already thinking about calling somebody, getting other jobs before I even got up to the office. I was making that long walk. That long walk was about 10 miles, it felt like. I'm going to lose my job. So I kept hearing, you blew it, you have your head in the game, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't think. And so when I got in there, the COO said, David, you realize this is the worst audit we've ever had? I said, yes, sir, I realize that. He says, and I want to say something to you, and I'll wait for him to say, you're fired. And he put out his hand, he said, I want to tell you I'm sorry. He said, you were going through so much, and I didn't try to help you. I didn't send you any help, didn't try to help you. I just know how you normally get things done. And I just thought you could, I said, he said, I thought it would be fine. I said, inside, I'm still waiting for him to fire me. He said, and I want you to know we're sorry. He said, but the cool thing is they're going to do it again in like 30, 40 days. He said, we're going to do it again. We get a chance, another chance at it. He said, you'll do better next time. Still didn't send me any help. At least he didn't fire me. And I remember about 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, I'm walking up the stairs to engineering and my mind popped back in gear. I felt it. I literally felt it pop back in gear. I ran to the vice president of engineering because he's the one telling me I was going to get fired. I ran to the vice president of engineering and I said, hey, dude, my mind just woke up. I actually can think again. You know, I felt like the scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz when they gave him that diploma. You know, and he said, well, he said, it's about time. He said, because we got another audit coming. He said, if you mess this enough, you will be fired. I said, don't worry about it. God's got, I didn't say God's got this because that's Bethany saying, but I said something like that. God's got this. And I get to the next audit, and it was the best one we had ever, ever had. Ever. They were so impressed with how great everything was, and we passed so fast. It didn't even take, before it took 3 days to do it, it only took like a day and a half. Everything was in order. Everything was right. They said it's the best audit. Mr. Fountain and I were impressed because it was the best audit they'd ever had. And all I could think about was all that anxiety I had built up inside was needless and worthless. We need to download, uninstall the anxiety in our hearts and our minds because it messes us up. It deteriorates our faith. We cannot do what we've got to do. I look out here and I think about, I've seen this church full. I've seen this church when it goes through the spells. It's one of those spells that goes through every now and then. This is one of them. And so I look at that. I don't think about the snapshot. I think about the history. And when I see the history, we've seen this before. It's not like this is the first time this has ever happened. It's happened several times, and all churches go through it. It's just some churches have so many people that you can't really tell when they're going through it. And some, they're so big that when they go through it, it almost wants to shut the place down because they can't handle it. But again, get rid of the snapshot and look at the history, and you'll feel better. What I was going to say is, though, don't get anxious over that. Think about your own life and the things you're going through with your family. You're thinking, you take a snapshot and go, oh man, look at this. We'll never get over this. Look at your history. Look back and say, you know what? We've had stuff like this before. God helped us then. He's going to help us now. Get rid of your little Polaroid snapshot and get out your recorder and look at your history and know that God has got this and He's got us and everything's going to be okay. It's going to be, listen, I'm telling you, we're on the move if we'll trust God and not get anxious about everything and start, I can think about it. Whenever I think about that, I think about my brother in that barn with that snake. I mean, I've never seen him like that ever. And he's ever, you know, stop being so, be anxious about nothing is what the Bible says in Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by praise and by prayer. You give thanks to God. Pray to God. You be giving thanks and watch what He'll do. Everybody stand. Brandon, come on up. I mean, BJ, come on up here. While he's on the way up here, I want you to, every head's bowed, every head bowed, every eye closed. No looking around. But nobody's paying, don't be looking at anybody else because I want everybody to feel it free. What does this do? This acknowledgement actually is like a launching pad. When I get y'all to lay, put your eyes down and raise those hands, it's like a launching pad. It's actually your first step of faith because before God can fix something, you got to admit you got something broke. Before God can work in your life, you've got to admit you need Him. And so when I get you to close your eyes, I say, why do you do that all the time? It's simple. When you bow your heads and nobody's looking, and I ask questions and you put your hands up in acknowledgement, you are actually acknowledging there's a problem and I need God to fix it. That's the beginning. That is the beginning of your transformation. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed. First, let me ask, as I always do, is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus or you know Him, but you've gone so far the other way, you're not even sure He hears you anymore, and that by itself makes you anxious? The thought of hell makes you anxious. The thought of if you're ready or not, when I say are you ready or not, makes you anxious. I'm not going to embarrass you, but here's your chance to start the launching pad, to start the liftoff, to start the takeoff stage, preparation stage. If you're not sure that your relationship with God is right, I'm not going to embarrass you. You're just going to say, Pastor, you know what? I'm not even sure, and that makes me anxious. Because I think about the future and think about heaven and think about things and I wonder whatever. Well, nobody's looking around. Would you just put that hand up quickly and say, I'm not sure. God's got this now. God's got it. Maybe you're here this morning and life itself has got you anxious. You are so anxious. You can't even sleep at night. When you lay your head down, all you can think about is those problems and those potential problems. And Satan takes those and just rolls them up like a snowball rolling down a hill. It just picks up steam and it gets bigger and bigger. And that's what's going on in your mind, in your emotions, in your spirit. It rolls and it rolls and it gets bigger and bigger and you can't sleep. And either you can't eat or you overeat. You can't sleep or you oversleep, one or the other. You can't get it together. You can't think. Your mind is just drawing blanks all the time. And you just find yourself, life has got you so anxious that you find it hard to even function as you would consider proper functioning. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put up that hand quickly and say, I'm having that problem. I'm having that problem. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Right now, together, I want, if you raised your hand for anything or wanted to and didn't, period, I want everybody to say this with me. The book of the law, which is the Bible, shall not depart out of my mouth. Meaning you're going to speak it. I'm going to speak it, God. Say it. I'm going to speak your word. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. God, I will think about you day and night. Working, not working. Y'all say it with me. Working, not working. When I'm laying in bed, I'm going to think about your word. That thou mayest observe to do according to what's all written. God, I will obey your word. Say that. God, I will obey your word. You promised to make my way prosperous. I claim that promise. Say that, I claim that promise in the name of Jesus. Now, ready? We're going to say one more prayer. And then open the altars. I want everybody to say this. You say, well, we say this all the time. It's okay to say it all the time. Don't you say, when you go to eat your meal, don't you say the blessing before your meal each time? When you lay down at night, don't you pray before you go to sleep? Hopefully you do. When you get up in the morning, don't you pray? Well, we're going to say this prayer, and we can say it every service, and it won't hurt a thing. Father, y'all say it with me. Father, I need you in my life more than ever. I need you to calm the seas that are raging in my soul. I need you to boost my faith and help me to stand. I rededicate my life to you this day. I'm yours, you're mine, and I'm holding on to it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Give him praise. Now, anybody has any other needs, the altars are open. We're not going to close down the service without having the altars open. I know many of you have already prayed and you've already had your prayers answered, but if you have another need, the altars are open. Sing that with us. Sing it.
This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed is a story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Sing it.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that just came to me. If you're having trouble with anxiety today, you need to get you, if you don't already have one, how many's got a God's Promises book? Anybody got a God? Y'all got a God's Promises book? If you're needing one, I've got some. It's actually something I'm developing for the other part of the other side of the ministry, Building Lives for the Kingdom. But if you don't have a God's Promises book, this one's God's Promises for men. That's okay, because it's still good for women too. If you don't have one, if you'll let me know, I'll get you one before you leave today. Because what happens is, when you get in these anxious moments, if you can't think of those verses, pull out that God's Promises book and start going through it. And there's your promises right there, God's promises. Most of the time I can think, but sometimes when I'm getting something, I'm in such a turmoil that I can't think, so I pull out my promises book and look at it, and there it is. So there's some God's Promises book. So if you don't have one and you want one, just let me know, and before the end of the service, you'll have one. All right? At least three of you will, because I got three. Don't get anxious. I can get more. Isn't God good? Brother Steve, dismiss us in prayer.
Father God, we just praise you, Lord. We love you. And we just thank you so much for being there in any situation that we might have in our lives, Lord. You have our back. And Lord, there's always your word to take care of anything that comes against us, Lord. And we give you honor and glory and praise for being our God and blessing us so mightily every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.